AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
With the state of today's economy, it is more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made of the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back into your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality made to last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And good afternoon. Welcome to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. Great to be with you here on this Monday. Super Wild Card Weekend continues and comes to a close tonight on Monday Night Football. We've got the Rams and Cardinals as we close it out to see who advances to the next round. Craig Mish, Davis Maddock, 2 hours. We'll recap the games, of course, from Sunday. We'll look ahead to tonight's games, give you a little tip on DFS in basketball tonight as well. But Davis, we're almost at the end of the first football weekend. When we were here on Friday, we said that there would be something this weekend that would have us turned on our head, something crazy, and go figure, that really was not the case. Pretty much all the games more or less went to the chalk, with the exception of maybe the San Francisco game, but obviously they, you know, were only 3-point underdogs. Maybe we'll get that tonight. I don't know, though. I mean, sort of a blowout city wildcard weekend, at least for the most part.
Yep, Bengals took care of business. Maybe a little bit of drama in that game. Absolutely zero drama with the Bills. Zero drama with the Buccaneers. They had a couple guys injured in the first half, but then they ended up coming back in the game. Tristan Wirfs got injured in the first quarter, but came back for the second half. I believe they're missing another defensive player, but you know, we'll see how much that stuff ends up mattering. And you're right. Of course, you know, my Dallas Cowboys embarrass themselves in grand fashion. Everyone's watching. They play like absolute crap. Dak has a terrible game. Kellen Moore has a terrible game as a play caller. Mike McCarthy, probably the worst coach of any team that made the playoffs. I mean, just absolutely embarrassing stuff. And then, you know, maybe for like 10 minutes, there was some drama in Kansas City, Pittsburgh, because the Kansas City offense looks like they were like just going through the motions. They were just hanging out. And then Andy Reid calls a play where Mecole Hardman is at quarterback and he does a zone read with Darrell Williams. There were two fumbles on that play. J.J. Watt's little brother picks it up. T.J. Watt scooped and score. But then, of course, the Chiefs do their thing. So, I guess the 49ers game was an upset, but that was like the chalk upset pick of the week. So maybe we will get a little bit more drama tonight.
Yeah, hopefully so, because, listen, it was really great to have all the games this weekend, but naturally the conversation now is, did the NFL need to expand the playoffs? We'll get to that here in a second, but let's get to our headlines here as we begin. The Chiefs beat the Steelers late last night, in case you missed it. More or less a blowout. Patrick Mahomes throws 5 touchdowns in this game last night in Big Ben Roethlisberger's final game, most likely in an NFL uniform. The 49ers take down the Cowboys, honestly, relatively easily. 23 penalties in the game, 14 by Dallas. We'll have more on that as we go. Really no sweating in Tampa Bay as Tom Brady and the Bucs just basically throttle the Eagles more or less from start to finish. And the Bengals-Raiders was actually a pretty good game. I mean, you never really felt comfortable in that game that there could be a blowout. And so give the Raiders credit for getting as far as they did. But really, in the end, the Bengals definitely deserve the win, no question about it. But really, from the perspective that everyone is sort of having today, Davis, we'll get into the games themselves, is did the NFL need to add Philly, Pittsburgh, some of these teams that, you know, let's be honest, you know, they didn't deserve to be in the playoffs. I mean, that's just putting it lightly. The Colts probably deserved it more than the Steelers did. So the schools of thought are as follows, Davis. Number one, it's always great to just have more football and have more games on, and I totally get that. And the other part of that, too, is that we may not have gotten the drama that we had the previous week to get to this week. But in general, this is worst-case scenario, really, for the NFL to have basically, 75-80% of the games be almost unwatchable in the second half.
Yeah, but think about how close we were to some really good playoff games. You know, had the New Orleans Saints made it as the 7 seed instead of the Philadelphia Eagles, right? That certainly would have been a better game. We saw the Saints beat the Buccaneers in the regular season. That game, I mean, that actually probably would have been a far more compelling game. You know, Peyton versus Arians, the Buccaneers against a team that's really had their number the last couple of years. And then it's so obvious how the 7 seed in the AFC could have been better if the Chargers were playing instead of the Steelers. I mean, that is what game of the year. I mean, that would have been the highest rated game of the weekend. We all would have been excited to see Herbert and Mahomes going back and forth. And we got the great drama in week 18, right? That Raiders Chargers finish. I mean, that honestly, it is not going to surprise me if the playoffs kind of, if this Bills Chiefs game is bad, if one of those teams ends up winning by double digit points, like I think the game of the 2021-2022 season is going to be that week 18 game between the Raiders and the Chargers. And I obviously we knew some bad teams were going to sneak in, but I really think it is just people overreacting to the Philadelphia Eagles and the Pittsburgh Steelers not showing up. And we were truly coin flips away. And well, yeah, I mean, New England could have given us a good game had they played any other team in the playoffs for the AFC. I mean, they just, we've been talking about this with New England for months. You were saying, Davis, you know, I think they're a better team than you give them credit for. And I was like, yes, that's true. But when they're down 10 points, there's nothing they can do. So that the Patriots could have won 13 games in the regular season, had a couple one score games gone their way, but it didn't change who they were.
Yeah, no, and it definitely was. Listen, it was a lot of fun for me to take, you know, breath during games and not have fantasy to worry about and just have these one game on. I could like kind of check in and out on all of the games, and that's what I'll be doing tonight too. But certainly for those of you who played DFS this weekend, for those of you who were, you know, had some prop wagers in on the game, we're going to review exactly what happened in every game, what the future means for the playoff teams, and also what the future means for the teams that got knocked out. So stay on the grid with us. We're just getting started here on this Monday. We'll be right back. Great.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back. Fantasy Sports Day here on Sports Grid. Sorry, my phone was falling off my desk as we begin the show here on this Monday. We're going to work backwards from the games last night all the way through the afternoon games. We'll start off with the fantasy standouts from Kansas City Chiefs and Pittsburgh Steelers. Let's get it started. Patrick Mahomes, my son last night said, "Is this the son of the guy on the Mets?" My 9-year-old son. I'm like, yes, he's very good. 404 yards, 5 touchdowns, and 1 interception. The big surprise, of course, from a fantasy perspective was Jerick McKinnon, 12 carries, 61 yards. But look at this in the passing game, 6 receptions, 81 yards and a touchdown without having Williams in the game. Travis Kelce, 5 receptions, 108 yards and a touchdown. He also threw a touchdown in this game. DeMarcus Robinson, 4 receptions, 76 yards. Post game with the head coach of the Chiefs, Andy Reid, on the final game for Ben Roethlisberger and also for his team now getting ready to face the Bills.
Pittsburgh travels well, their fans do. So it's a good challenge for our fans, and they drowned him out. it was an honor to coach against Ben in his last game. I'm happy for him. He He's been a two-time champion, future Hall of Famer, done a great job in this league, representing this league. So, and I know he'll do the same when he's done here, whatever direction he goes. I was joking our guys that he probably needs to take some time off. He's been playing for 18 years, take a little time off and rest up and get himself back and do whatever he's going to do. He'll be great at it. Proud of our players, our coaches, for the job that they did. We understand this is a first step, but it was the most important game today. And that's the way our guys handled it. And so now we get ready for a good Buffalo team that's coming in here Sunday, 5:30 our time. I know Arrowhead will be rocking here. And we'll have a good week of preparation and get ourselves ready too.
Could be the game of the year in the NFL. We'll see. Pittsburgh, of course, goes out with a little bit of a whimper yesterday as Ben Roethlisberger in what could be his final game. Everyone says it is. I'm not 100% on that. 29 of 44, 215 yards and two touchdowns. One was to James Washington. The other one was to Deontay Johnson. And Juju Smith-Schuster, who hasn't played in 2 months, came back and had five receptions and 26 yards in this game. Also, Smith-Schuster is a free agent at the end of the season as well. Could be the last ride for Ben Roethlisberger. He talked after the game last night about his emotions and also speaking to his opponent, Patrick Mahomes, after the game.
Yeah, it's tough. But I'm proud to play with these guys. God has blessed me with an ability to throw football and has blessed me to play in the greatest city in Pittsburgh with the greatest fans and the greatest football team and players, and it has just been truly a blessing, and I'm so thankful to him for the opportunity that he's given me.
And can you share what Mahomes said to you and what you said to Mahomes after the game?
I just wished him nothing but the best. Such a good football player, and it's fun to watch him. And just a lot of respect there, I think, between us.
How about what he said to you?
He just respect a lot of respect and said he's got to get a jersey, and I told him I need one too.
Yeah, I would say both will be in Canton, one in 5 years and another, who knows, maybe in 15 or 20. I mean, Mahomes, can you imagine 18 years playing in the NFL like Ben Roethlisberger? It seems to be insane, the money that Mahomes makes. I can't imagine it. All right, let's go to Kansas City here for a minute. McKinnon, Davis, clearly the big surprise, I guess, from this game. Second half, late, it was just all Kansas City. It was an absolutely demolishing in this one. Virtually all their player props, all the team props, everything else came in. And look, when they're on, I mean, they're really tough to beat. And I guess that's the moral of the story here.
Yeah, you know what? I have a bone to pick. I love the Kansas City Chiefs. I love everyone who covers the team. You all do a fantastic job. 98% of the time, you all do a fantastic job. I have a relationship with some of the Kansas City beat reporters, but you all really, really let us down this week, as those of us who are still playing in all of these playoff fantasy football contests, because no one, not a single person, reported that Darrell Williams was really still suffering from this toe injury. I went back and looked. I read the practice notebooks on The Athletic. I read through the blurbs on Roto-World. Nary a mention of this toe injury limiting Darrell Williams. But Jerick McKinnon, I mean, this has got to be the most yards that he has had in, I'm going to guess, since he was a member of the Minnesota Vikings. I don't think he ever had a 100-yard game with the San Francisco 49ers. And McKinnon has always been a guy that us nerds in the fantasy football community like, because he was a true story. He was a option quarterback in college at Georgia Southern, and he transitioned to running back. And this is how long Jerick McKinnon has been playing, Craig. He was drafted as the backup to Adrian Peterson in Minnesota. That was his job originally in the NFL. He's been around a long time, and I'm very glad to see this performance, but it would have been very nice to have an idea beforehand that Darrell was not going to be the lead back for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, so I guess the question is, moving forward, Davis, how does Kansas City go away from this? I don't see how they can. He looked so good in the passing game, and look, a lot of it, let's be real, is a product of the system. Edwards-Helaire has had his moments. Derek Gore has had his moments. Damian Williams in the past. Darrell Williams now. I mean, I mean, to say it doesn't matter, I guess that's extreme. But whoever is going to be part of this offense is going to be a big part of it. And going into this week, I haven't even looked at the total for the game Saturday. I mean, what is it, like 55? It's got to be like mid-50s, somewhere along those lines.
I'm going to guess 56 and a half. We can go look this up on the FanDuel Sportsbook right now. It is, only 54 and a half. I wonder if that's actually a bet. Because I think, honestly, either team that wins this game, I think our probability of a 17 to 10 clunker in this game against the Bills, I think it's got to be very low. I think both teams, the Chiefs at home, the Bills on the road, I think both of them are like, look, we're not going in here and trying to run the ball 30 times. I do think, though, you did hint at something, which is that who's playing running back for the Kansas City Chiefs, it just doesn't matter, right? As long as they do just good enough. And we actually, funnily enough, we talked about this last week, because remember you mentioned to me, well, imagine if the Chiefs traded for McCaffrey. And I was like, no, we don't want that, because we you don't want Mahomes checking the ball down. You want him throwing those bombs to DeMarcus Robinson and to Tyreek Hill. This is how I would guess it's going to work out for the rest of the postseason. I think Clyde Edwards-Helaire will probably be back for the Bills game. I think he will be the primary first and second down back. But I think McKinnon now, I think he will probably be the goal line back. And you got to think he is going to be the guy in there for all of the obvious, pass catching situations.
And look, maybe he earns himself a chance to play in the NFL next year. I mean, that was not a foregone conclusion. I just remember him going to San Francisco on a big contract and being drafted in fantasy football like fifth, sixth round and not playing a down for the whole entire year. I mean, that's sort of what I remember with him. And it's also interesting that we thought of in the past with Denver of this fantasy football running back factory. It was always whoever they put back there, whether it was Terrell Davis or Clinton Portis, Mike Anderson, Olandis Gary, like it just didn't matter. I mean, you really can say the same thing about Kansas City over the last 15 years. It just doesn't matter who's back there. I go back to Priest Holmes, Larry Johnson, Jamaal Charles. It's like, I mean, just put someone back there in this offense in KC, and they always end up getting fantasy points. Real quick on the Pittsburgh side, I mean, I suppose the Steelers will have a new quarterback next year, Davis. Do you think it's a draft pick, or you think it's a vet?
I think it'll be both. I think that they will draft someone. You know, Kenny Pickett seems like a guy they would probably like, but I also bet they bring in a Andy Dalton, Jameis Winston tier free agent quarterback as well.
You know, Pickett from Pittsburgh would be obviously the nice story there. All right. Well, a ton of controversy, of course, at the end of the game between Dallas and San Francisco. We'll hit on that next. Our Fantasy Sports Today continues after this. Great.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. Well, the Dallas Cowboys have been sort of Jekyll and Hyde all season long. I guess in this case, Hyde showed up yesterday in the game against the San Francisco 49ers. And I mean, in the last 24 hours, you can't find anyone talking about how well San Francisco played. It is all about how poorly Dallas played. But let's get to the fantasy standouts here on the show. Jimmy Garoppolo, 16 of 25, just 172 yards, a crucial interception late in the game that almost handed the game back to Dallas, probably should have. Elijah Mitchell, 27 carries, 96 yards, and a touchdown. What's left to say about Deebo Samuel at this point? I don't know. 72 yards, a touchdown, three receptions, 38 yards. Another fantastic game for him. And Brandon Ayuk with five receptions and 66 yards. Not to be lost in this entire conversation, too, was the fact that San Francisco's two best defensive players didn't even play in the second half, in Bosa and Fred Warner, and Shanahan said that was just such a big deal for them to win without his guys.
It says so much about our guys all year. Like just to lose two of our best players, our captains, and be able to protect a lead like that too. I mean, when you're missing your middle linebacker and you're missing our best pass rusher, just the guys stepping it up in their place, and I think you guys have been seeing guys do that these last couple months too, and just how much all guys who haven't been playing just have been fighting these last couple months to get back and to get healthy enough to play against the Rams and then this week to play in the playoffs. It was, couldn't have done it without those guys.
It doesn't really fit our show to hear post-game from all of the Cowboys because it doesn't really factor into fantasy, but some of the weakest excuses you'll ever see from these guys after the game, including Dak Prescott, who had 254 yards and two total touchdowns, also four carries, 27 yards. That last one at the end of the game ended the game. Ezekiel Elliott said he's been playing hurt all season long. He had 12 carries for 31 yards. Dalton Schultz was the leading receiver for the Dallas Cowboys. How about that? 7 for 89. And Amari Cooper, my one good pick from the fantasy postseason league, he was 6 receptions, 64 yards, and a touchdown. Not much happening for CeeDee Lamb and for Mike McCarthy, who says not much happening for his offense at the end of the game.
Well, I mean, offensively, you know, we had a hard time getting in the rhythm there. I think the timing of the penalties, I think they obviously stopped some drives. And, you know, you don't want to be in long D&Ds, with this defensive front, you know, so that definitely didn't help us any. But I think, you know, once our guys settled into the second half, we knew it was going to be a challenge game. We knew it was going to be choppy. And, when we watched it, we're going to wish that we executed better. But, just wasn't quite good enough today.
San Francisco will go to Green Bay. Probably will pose a nice threat, I think, next week. Could be a good game there. I still think Davis, Jerry Jones is a great owner. I mean, I really do. I mean, I think he is. And he's very transparent, talks at the end of the games always too. But I mean, you just never got a good feeling about the Cowboys watching the entire game, even in the end, like making the excuse about the run and the refs. I mean, let's say they even get that play at the end where the time doesn't run out. Are they going to throw a 40-yard bomb for a touchdown? I mean, this excuse stuff is just insane.
Well, that's why. This is what McCarthy said. So McCarthy said that, this is a play they've practiced, and the Cowboys analytics team said that, you know, one shot from the 28-yard line is better than two shots from the 40-yard line. I think that's got to be crap. I think that the two shots from the 40-yard line has to be better. That's what they said. However, Romo made this point on the broadcast that I have not seen be a popular talking point about that horrible end of the game, which is that Dak messed up. It's actually Dak's fault that the clock run out because the offense is not allowed to place the ball. The referee has to place the ball. And so when Prescott slides, it's his job. He has the ball. Whoever has the ball, could be Zeke, could be Lamb, could be Dak, whoever. Mm-hmm. They have to hand the ball to the referee for the referee to spot the ball. Otherwise, the play can't be called, so you can't clock the ball. So just a total nightmare there. McCarthy, like I said earlier, he had to have been the worst coach of any coach that made the playoffs. Far too conservative. And, you know, I do not want Kellen Moore to get off the hook here at all. I mean, you can say, and I think this is a very convenient excuse to say, well, you know, the only reason that they give Zeke all these touches is because Jerry Jones and Mike McCarthy tell Kellen Moore that he has to. But I think basically what you're saying when you say that is you want to give Kellen Moore credit for all the good stuff the Cowboys offense does, but you don't want to give him any of the discredit, I suppose, for when the offense doesn't work. And you and I were talking about this game last week, and I said, you know, I don't have a great feeling because we've just seen the Cowboys no-show in too many games this year, right? Sometimes they show up. This statistically was the best offense the Cowboys had ever had, most yards, most touchdowns, et cetera, et cetera. But we had these games against the Broncos. Some of those divisional games were literally, it was like they didn't even get off the plane to play the game. And so Dak, F-minus game, Kellen Moore, F-minus, Mike McCarthy, I hope he is the tight ends coach for the Washington football team next year because I cannot do another year of Mike McCarthy coaching this team.
Yeah, CeeDee Lamb in college was one of my favorite receivers. And, you know, I mean, just not really getting a lot of targets. Amari Cooper is still very good, too. I mean, Dalton Schultz is leading your team in targets and receptions in this game. I mean, at the end, I don't know. And listen, I give Zeke Elliott for credit for playing all season long, as he says, on a torn PCL. But the Cowboys have known this for 2 months or a month, and they're not playing Pollard.
Another huge organizational error. How can you let your running back, play through a torn PCL when you have Tony Pollard sitting there? Like, give him 3 weeks off. And you know, you want to have Zeke out there. We saw the one play yesterday where he knocked out the two guys on the pass block. I mean, he is an incredible pass blocker, and that's one of the reasons why the team wants him out there. But let him get healthy enough to be effective as a runner, too.
Yeah, no, very, very, very odd way it ended. Jerry Jones was pretty, angry is not really the word, because you never see him angry, but just the disappointment level for him was the highest I've seen in any post game. So we'll see what ends up happening. All right. On the flip side, look, Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are moving on to the next round. The fate of their next home game will be determined tonight, with the winner of Arizona and Los Angeles going to play at Raymond James Stadium next week. Let's look at the Buccaneers fantasy standouts. And there were a lot of them from yesterday, as Tom Brady with another great playoff game, throwing for 271 yards and two touchdowns. Keyshawn Vaughn also scored on 17 carries. Giovanni Bernard opened up the game with a touchdown. That was a little surprising. Also got 13 carries, so he is definitely back on the radar. Nice game for Mike Evans, as usual. 9 receptions, 117 yards and a touchdown. And go figure, Brady to Gronk, another postseason touchdown for him. Bruce Arians, the head coach of the Bucs after the game, basically said, eventually, Brady is going to get you once he knows what's up.
Once Tom figures you out, man, you're in trouble. And the wind didn't even affect him at all, and he was extremely accurate on the right guys. I mean, that was a dime he threw to Mike for that long touchdown. And, yeah, he's a surgeon, man. I mean, once he figures you out and we can put him in a position and protect him, he's gonna eat you up.
On the flip side, Philadelphia Eagles are going home after what has to be considered of maybe all the teams losing an extremely successful season for them, going over their win total and really shocking everyone with how well they played. But it came to an end pretty easily yesterday, as Jalen Hurts, clearly not 100%, still had a walking boot after the game and didn't play well. 258 yards, one touchdown, two interceptions, and these were all yards that were just in comeback fashion. Lots of interceptions and mistakes in this game. Boston Scott had one carry for 34 yards. It was a touchdown. Kenneth Gainwell also got involved in the action. Goddard, 6-4, 92, and Devonta Smith just 4-4-60 in this game. Nick Sirianni, first-year head coach, talked about the season coming to an end at the end of the game.
You know, obviously I need to go back and watch the tape. Again, we weren't as crisp as we needed to be on offense. I thought there were some good zone read things that he did and read it pretty well. You know, a couple of the early things that happened, you know, like some of the early third downs weren't necessarily his fault of what happened. Again, I'll have to watch the tape through it. It's not going to come out as his best graded game, and it's not going to come out as a lot of our guys' best graded game. So I'll have to watch the tape to get further answers for you. But, again, just not a crisp game. And that always starts with me as the head coach and then another quarterback. We're always going to take responsibility for that.
And in the end, I think with the Buccaneers, Davis, is that I don't even care what happens tonight. I think whoever wins tonight is probably really up against it going to the Buccaneers and going to play there on a short week regardless. But this is our end of the season with Philadelphia. I thought a really successful season for them, all things considered, with everyone having the lowest of expectations. They'll have to get quarterback figured out if it's Jalen Hurts or if it's someone else. Hurts, I think, for 50% of the season looked fantastic, and 50% of the season looked like a rookie. But essentially, this kind of was his rookie season.
Yeah, and I mean, for Jalen Hurts to succeed, he's got to be in a very specific type of offense, you know, not that dissimilar to Lamar. Honestly, not even that dissimilar to Jimmy Garoppolo. You know, Jimmy Garoppolo could not run the Tampa Bay Buccaneers offense, but he could run the 49ers offense. And I think that Nick Sirianni and the Eagles coaching staff has kind of struggled to figure out what to do with Jalen Hurts after he injured his ankle. Maybe it'll kind of be one of those things that just always plagues him, where if you can't run for 70 yards, it's not going to be a good game for you. But they have 3 first-round picks, lots of ways to improve the team. And I personally am hoping they do not give up on Jalen Hurts after making the playoffs. You know, I thought he was a solid B-minus quarterback this year.
Yeah, and listen, when you in the end, look, I mean, Dallas is obviously going to be okay, but after this year, who knows how far they can go. But Dallas goes down, very disappointing. Pittsburgh goes...
Mr. Monopoly here. Monopoly is back at McDonald's. Register in the McDonald's app so you're ready to...
Get your bag!
To a ways to peel for a chance to
get your bag.
Physical peels with select items and digital peels with others to
get your bag.
Play Monopoly at McDonald's.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
No purchase necessary. See rules at playatmcd.com for full details and amoe.playatmcd.com to play without purchase. Ends November 23rd, but bonus plans November 2nd. Monopoly is a registered trademark of Hasbro. Copyright McDonald's.
Down very disappointing. So does New England. And with Philadelphia, you're like, oh, okay. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. FanDuel is your hangout tonight, both on the sportsbook and, of course, on the DFS side. And you actually, I mean, amazingly today, I didn't even know this. It just shows you how out of it I am with some of the stuff that there's a $1 million contest tonight on FanDuel in DFS if you play the single game contest. So I want to get some tips here from Davis on this one, too. I almost hit the submit button on a lineup, but I got to be sure I'm doing the right thing. Is it possible tonight that Odell Beckham Jr., who has returned to the playoffs for the first time in, it feels like forever, since he was a member of that one year that the Cleveland Browns went to the playoffs, that Beckham could be in a DFS lineup tonight? What is the scenario? It's the Cardinals playing the Rams. The game is at 8:30 Eastern tonight. Beckham talked about his transition from Cleveland to Los Angeles and being back in a playoff game on Monday Night Football.
And right now it's just about fine-tuning your skills and locking in on all the details. And just excited about the opportunity we have in front of us, you know. Be back in the playoffs is a very good feeling.
When you decided to sign with the Rams, this was obviously the goal, but now that it's here, how do you feel like you've progressed in what's really a very short time with the team?
Just day-to-day, just finding ways to gel, put the work in. And just happy to see it all finally come together. And now it's time, you know, the season starts right now at this very moment. So, like I said, honestly, it's hard to answer. I'm just looking forward to the opportunity and just ready to play.
And last one for me, but just based on what you saw from the Cardinals defense the last time around, what are you expecting perhaps to be the same or perhaps to be different from what they give you guys as looks?
I feel like they're a very confident team within, you know, what they do. And as they should be, they're a very good defense. So I expect them to, you know, make their tweaks and corrections, but to be similar and true to their core about the way that they would go about this game. And just going to it's going to be two dogs fighting and one's got to come out on top.
Hopefully we'll get a good game tonight. I think that at least the scenario points us toward that with the lack of good games that we saw this weekend. Hopefully tonight will be one of them. But look, Beckham's role in the offense is a lot bigger than I ever thought it was going to be. Maybe a product of just simply not having Robert Woods there. So next year will be more of an interesting conversation to see what happens there. But I mean, Davis, I mean, FanDuel's got $1 million out there tonight in a single game tournament. So, you know, help me out here. Set me up for some possibilities as to how you think this goes.
Well, Craig, I mean, the single game DFS, it is an entity in and of itself. It is a huge market inside of DFS. I honestly think the single game contests on FanDuel and DraftKings are some of the most interesting from a game theory perspective, because so much of what you're doing is based on ownership, not necessarily, you know, picking the best plays, right? It would be fairly easy tonight to just, okay, well, I'm going to take Cooper Kupp, I'm going to take Chase Edmonds, I'm going to take Kyler, one cheap guy, you know. It really is a lot about game theory. You don't want your lineup to be duplicated for obvious reasons. You know, if you get first place, you don't want to be sharing first place with, you know, 180 of your closest friends. This is a true story. I have won the Millionaire Maker on FanDuel before. I split it with 384 people, so it was good for about $2,500. So that is an example of why you would not want to be duplicated in first place. And I think there are some fairly interesting angles tonight. You know, the first one being the Rams backfield, where we saw Cam Akers actually have a fairly decent role for his very first NFL game coming back from the Achilles injury. He played 20% of the snaps. He got 5 rushes. He was targeted 3 times. I think the assumption from the market is that he is actually going to see a growing role in every single game. So every single game that he's healthy, there he's going to get more touches. I think that's probably not true. I think that Sony Michel has done a very good job being the lead back in this backfield, and his snap shares have been crazy. I mean, the last 3 games of the year, 90% of the snaps, 27 carries, 131 yards against the Vikings, 98% of the snaps against Baltimore with 19 carries and 5 targets. And even in that first game with Akers back in week 18 and that loss to the Rams, he played 80% of the snaps, 21 carries, and 4 targets in the passing game. So I love Michel. Then I think the same thing is true on the other side. I think that you just need to take a stance on the running backs there. So I think Connor obviously correlates well with lineups where you expect the Cardinals to win. Edmonds does a little bit better in games where they're expected to lose. I really like Edmonds because I think Connor is probably a little bit banged up. And then, you know, the biggest wrinkle of all is that Cooper Kupp is going to be far and away the most popular player in the MVP slot tonight. So just not using Cooper Kupp in the MVP in any of your lineups, I think, creates a really helpful differential.
All right, so there you see the graphic that we have there for you with Sony Michel in the MVP slot. We've got Cooper Kupp, Kyler Murray at quarterback. Now, hold on a second here. Who is this in the other flex spot that you got?
Ben Skowronek. He is the fourth wide receiver for the Los Angeles Rams. He played 26% of the snaps in week 18, 47% in week 17. So basically what happens is if Odell Beckham needs a breather, Skowronek comes in. If Van Jefferson needs a breather, Skowronek comes in. Or if they're on, you know, like a third and long or something like that. And interestingly enough, Van Jefferson has played way less in their last 2 games. So I actually think, and finding cheap guys in this slate is pretty difficult. And I think Skowronek looks like the best one.
All right. And then you have a kicker in the final flex here. I see Matt Prater at 9,000.
Yeah, overlooking the kickers in these single game DFS contests is something that lots of people do. You love to have the upside of course, you know, a backup running back who can get in, which by the way is a viable strategy. You know, playing backup running backs for the in-game injury, those things, you know, they look, I mean, mm-hmm. it happens all the time. We see it happen all the time. In the event that happens, you end up having a really low owned guy who would obviously have projected for a ton of points. But one of the things that I'm expecting in this game is I think that Cliff is going to play like a coward. I think that he's there. Certainly where you're not going to be very far into this game, it'll be fourth and short from the Rams 28-yard line. And Cliff is going to trot Matt Prater out there. I mean, Cliff loves to kick field goals. Prater has, you know, more games with 3 or more field goal attempts this year than games with less. That's 10, 11, 12 points, depending on the distances. So I think Prater looks pretty strong tonight.
All right. So there you have it. A DFS lineup tonight for the Rams and Arizona Cardinals. And of course, we'll have that game covered for you. If you're watching the game or watching the Manning cast, you can also tune us in tonight for in-game live. Of course, plenty of NBA going on today, and we're going to have a full preview of some of the picks for tonight. Of course, today we honor Martin Luther King, and the NBA has, I believe it is like a dozen games going on today. So we're going to have updates on scores, and we'll provide you all that information and everything like that as well. Let's go back to the overall just weekend, Davis, here, and sort of put a bow on the Super Wild Card weekend. I was watching all the games this weekend. Thought that, you know, a couple would be closer than they were, but in general, when you look at the games and as they come out of it, who do you think like left you with the best taste in your mouth? And I mean, I guess I know which team ended up with the worst taste in your mouth.
I mean, it's got to be the Bills, right? The Bills had a perfect game. No field goals, no punts. Every drive ended in a touchdown until it was kneel down time, until Trubisky came in to kneel down. It's the first time that's ever happened in postseason history. No team has ever had a perfect game on offense. So I think you have to look at that and say the Bills are sort of getting in, rounding into form at the right time. The way that it is – the Titans ruin everything. I mean, Bills, Chiefs should be the AFC conference championship, right? Like those teams getting eliminated, one of those teams, the Chiefs or the Bills, getting eliminated in the divisional round. I mean, it just doesn't seem very fair. And, you know, I thought the Bengals, basically because they didn't win by as many points as they could have, but certainly at no point in that game was I thinking, oh, they're in trouble here. I mean, if anything, it would have been like, you know, because the Raiders have played in all these crazy, fluky games all year long. Certainly, I think that they could have lost that game by happenstance, but I thought they looked really good. And I'm not a believer in the Titans anyway, so I mostly am just mad that we're having to see Bills and Chiefs in the wild card round. And, you know, again, to be honest about the Buccaneers, I'm still a little bit worried about them when it comes into playing the Rams, the Packers, you know, because Mike Evans, phenomenal, 10 targets, 9 receptions, 117 yards and a touchdown. They still have not solved the problem that they have at wide receiver with no Chris Godwin and no Antonio Brown. None of their other wide receivers have had a 100-yard game yet. Cyril Grayson popped up with the one good game. Breshad Perriman had that game-winning touchdown. I don't even remember who it was against about 4 or 5 weeks ago. But the most yards that one of their wide receivers had in that game against the Eagles, Tyler Johnson had 2 for 30. Gronk had 5 for 31. Giovanni Bernard had 5 for 39. Brady did throw 37 passes in that game. And yeah, I don't know. I think that's going to be a problem for them, specifically against the Packers.
Oh yeah. No, I think so too. I just, what I don't want to let happen tonight, Davis, is let anything sway me from feeling, you know, bad about Tampa Bay. Now, look, it's very easy, you know, hypothetically speaking, even though I do think the Cardinals have a great shot, if the Rams end up winning this game tonight and they win by 6, I mean, the Buccaneers are probably going to be 6-7 point favorites, I think, against the Rams. Maybe not 7, maybe 6, 5.5, somewhere along those lines. And of course the team could cover the spread, but I don't know. I'm just not feeling like any of the teams left give Tampa a real fight, except for the Packers. Yes, in that game, I definitely think that completely changes the equation there. And then the other thing that I would say, and I'll ask your opinion on this, is that, you know, Tennessee is only 3-point favorites going up against Cincinnati. And so I don't know if this game feels like the San Francisco-Dallas game where everyone is just going to be on Cincinnati and Tennessee is going to win, but it's going to be very hard to find Tennessee backers, I think, going into the weekend.
As it should be, right? I mean, look, they are the one seed, so they did what they needed to do, but I think they are a fairly fraudulent one seed. You know, if you look at their resume of what they did in the regular season, basically the reason they got the one seed was because they met the Chiefs at the absolute worst time, when the Chiefs were bottom of the barrel. I think that was the game the Chiefs literally didn't score a point in the first half. And then after that, the Chiefs started playing offense in a different way and wrecking through the NFL. And because they won that game, they got the tiebreaker. They got to be the one seed. But it's not as if, you know, the Titans, you know, absolutely laid waste to the NFL. On offense, they are 21st in the NFL in yards per play, right? That worse than the Lions, worse than the Broncos, in terms of total points scored, worse than the Vikings, worse than the Eagles. I mean, this is, to me, a team that just got incredibly lucky to win the way that they did in the regular season. And it's going to be hard to find a Titans backer on this show, because I already bet the Bengals on the opening line.
Yeah, well, look, if Derrick Henry is 100%, I don't even know what the story is with him, but 100% Derrick Henry changes what the Titans do completely. I mean, he mauled the entire playoffs for almost 2 years. So, look, I mean, that's just going to be the key to the week, is figuring out, you know, what position he is in to play, if at all, going into this weekend against Cincinnati. All right, coming up next, we'll give you an interesting stat on Deebo Samuel. We've got the second hour of the show, lots of NBA to discuss. Games going on right now as we speak. We have one game underway. So we'll be back with more here on Fantasy Sports Today on Sports Grid. Don't go away. Great.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Well, Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. A budding superstar, no more. He is a superstar in the NFL. Make no mistake about it. In our fantasy drafts next year, I don't even know how high Davis Debo Samuel is going to end up going. I feel like this was like the best draft pick I ever had in fantasy football. Like, I got to go back to like Arian Foster, like those days to remember how good things worked out for me. But Debo is certainly, he's taking over the postseason. I mean, one more win for San Francisco. I mean, this guy is going to be like, forget about how popular he's going to be.
Yeah. So I have something here on Debo's rushing efficiency. Our friend over at Pro Football Focus, Mike Renner, tweeted this. So if you use Debo Samuel's rushing efficiency and gave him Jonathan Taylor's workload, these would be his rushing numbers. 2,100 yards, 43 rushing touchdowns, and 1,100 broken tackles. So I certainly think that there is a strong chance that people who are drafting Debo Samuel in the second round next year, if he just gets tackled at the two or the one a couple times instead of scoring some rushing touchdowns. I mean, he had, I think, 19 total touchdowns this season in the regular season. I love Debo Samuel. Certainly, if you have Debo Samuel in a dynasty league right now, you basically found gold there, because he was not even drafted that highly in rookie drafts. But, I mean, basically one of the most efficient seasons from a player in the NFL, regardless of position, ever.
Yeah, and no way he gets out of the second round in fantasy. Probably early second round next year, right?
Yep. Yeah, I think he will go right after Devontae Adams, Cooper Kupp, and Tyreek Hill. I think he will be, and Justin Jefferson probably. He'll be right in that range.
Yeah, so late first, early second round. A top 15 pick in fantasy football from not somebody that was talked about a lot in fantasy football circles. Believe me, I did my research on that yesterday. All right, that'll do it for our first hour of the show. Coming up next, our headlines. We got Alex with the update at the top of the hour. And then Davis and I, as well as the Fantasy Sports Today crew, are all playing in a fantasy playoff league. We'll tell you how we did and what we have at stake going into tonight. So stay on the grid. We'll be back in just a couple minutes. Break.